I think the red's on. I think that was fine. Sound check. I think we're on. The last game of the season. Eshu.
I'm back.
Eshu's back. That puts you into tied equal with Piers. Wow. Three appearances. Wow. Mind you, quite a few will be doing that because a few coming up later. Steve.
Here we go. We made it.
Do you see how they're all a big softy state, aren't they? The sad old goons.
Sad old goons.
But I listened back to last week, Steve, and what was particularly tragic about that was that you still held a candle of hope.
We were the people's champion.
You were the people's champion. In fact, you were alive on West Stratford United.
No, I don't want to go football too early.
No, let's not go too early.
What I will say is I did watch the Man City highlights, and if ever there was a more bored-looking group of fans at winning the title.
It's a valid point, isn't it? Complacency. I can't say we ever got there. I think you're a bit like us. You never won more than two in a row. In fact, did you ever win two in a row?
Of course we did. You might have to go back to the 50s.
No. I mean, when you were good and winning recently. We did one, we had two in a row. And actually, not me, I was pleased to add, but you could tell by the third season there was a complacency about some idiots. And I think that's the problem. You're right. Those City boys don't know they're alive. But let's not go there too soon. First of all, weekends. Steve, as always, let's end with hope you've raised your game for the last weekend of the season.
Actually, mine was sport action-packed. I was at Harley Hill Running Track all of Saturday.
Of course.
For the Highgate Hounds.
The night of the
10,000 PBs.
I heard it. I totally muscled Gemma's interest up to go there. Not least.
What I have to say is for a grassroots club, the magnitude of that event.
It's huge.
It really feels like you're at an Olympic, you know, you've got hundreds, thousands of people watching pyrotechnics, cameras everywhere, the BBC were down there recording, live streaming.
Disco.
Discos, DJs.
I bet there was a celebrity in there.
I wouldn't recognise them. No. So I'm sure there was plenty.
I know for a fact that Chris's Anna was there. Freeloading on her political status. But yeah, I have never been, and given that it's exactly 4 minutes
it's on your
from my front door, it's a disgrace. It's all, I always sort of forget about it, hear it, because I can hear it from my garden, and I think I should go up. And then it's always the Gemma's fault. I think she is suspicious, and rightly so. I know there's drinks up there, and I'm thinking, should wander up there and watch it. But it must be amazing because it's quite high standard, isn't it? It's international.
Well, the last two races of the evening are the championship races. So you have athletes looking to get their Olympic qualifying
time. That's
why
I read that. Yeah.
I think I read on one of the posters that they had somewhere in the region of 30, 35 different nationalities.
Oh, because they can be for any country.
Because they can come from
anywhere to get qualification. Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely going right next
Fantastic
year.
Fantastic event.
Yeah.
And
next in 4 years' time.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's true. Yeah, for the Olympics.
For the Olympics, yeah.
They do it every year, though. They don't just do it for the Olympics.
Highgate is every year, so you can potentially go next year.
Fight issue. Put to the floor, my plan. But yeah, no, it's actually, yeah, no, you're right. I think you should go. Good idea. Excellent. And so that was Saturday night.
And then we won't talk Sunday yet because I was obviously at the Emirates.
The footy. We'll save our Sunday last Kevin season experiences.
Of course,
this is obviously better than yours, but
still, all relative, we were shite.
Eshu, how about you? What did you get up to the weekend?
On the weekend, played football.
Did you? Good.
Played football Sunday.
Who are you playing for now?
My club season's finished.
Right.
Last weekend.
Yeah.
I was playing in a casual game.
Nice.
On Sunday.
And of course, you're coming for another casual game that we will spend a bit of time on as well, aren't you? In a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
it's a big rivalry match. 100%.
The return of tipping the velvet versus the Gypsy Queens. Actually, Gypsy Queens have got quite a good game too, as well. But yeah. How did your season go?
We didn't get relegated.
And that's what it was all
that
about.
That about halfway through. That was the main aim. I think we lost. We actually lost the last game, but went five games, like a draw and four wins in the last
to get safe.
In the last five, like penultimate five games, to get safe. So
That's it.
A victory.
Chelsea like running then. I think it was shocking. It's a bad first half.
Yeah.
What, had you been promoted the season before? Or?
No, it was just a kind of a new team with lots of new players, lots of young guys. It just took a while to get a consistent kind of regular team together.
What else with Chelsea? Astonishing.
Trinidad didn't really start playing until the second half of the season either.
Nice issue. Look at that modesty.
Took a bit of a half of it.
That had been me talking. Well, basically, I wasn't playing.
Just grabbed the captain's armband. I was
told him how to do it.
Give me that.
Good. Where do you play? Are you?
I play holding midfield.
No, where about? Where's the league?
The league's.
Or your team.
It's the Southern Amateur League,
right?
But it's at our level, it's regionalised.
Yeah.
But at the kind of first team level, it's all London.
Yeah. And where do you put? Where's your home pitch?
It's Woodside Park.
Woodside, I know that.
So it's like the stop after West Finchley on.
I know.
Northern Line.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got a nice little home ground there, a couple of pitches, clubhouse.
Nice. Anyone else play that plays on Monday?
Nathan used to play.
Yeah.
I don't think he played this season. He used to play in the twos with the threes.
Nathan's not. He was coming along. Like a lot of them on Monday were coming along to this end of season party. But Nathan went out with Rich on Sunday. He's got himself a nasty virus, I think. Fever of some sort.
Is that him there. Being.
Rio'd, I think.
Coy and he's got something.
Rio'd is a.
Yeah.
He's been Rio'd. He's got PTSD, post-titch stress syndrome. But you know, he's ill. But bizarrely, he was all right, to be fair to him. He played on Monday, he was fine. Very good, actually. Good.
So, and what about you, we should ask?
What did I get up to? I feel like. Oh, yeah, went out with Armit on Friday for a curry. Big goon, Armit. He'd have been very upset on Sunday as well. And then Saturday, what did we do on Saturday? I don't think I did an awful lot. Saturday was quite nice weather, wasn't it? I think we just, did a bit of gardening. You'd be excited by this, Steve. In the sort of, in between the slabs, put some dry, kiln-drying sand in there to stop the weeds coming.
Nice. Bit of boiling water, bit of salt.
I didn't do the salt boiling. Wow, what should I have done that for?
It'll kill off everything and then you put the sand on. If that's indeed is your
sake issue, that's a brilliant idea. Good job, though. I've only done the side return, which is less problematic with growth because it's a bit shady. Mm. I've got the rest of the back patio to do. I'll do that with that.
Because if you don't like chemicals, as well as I don't like chemicals.
No, but I don't like chemicals. We've got two dogs. One's a puppy that thinks whenever I'm out there, whatever I'm doing is something that it's he food. Should be eating. So if I start to put in chemicals, he'd definitely eat it. No, that's brilliant. That does make sense because they all get sort of jet washed out. The actual weeds, because the roots of it.
Yeah, so if you boiling water, salt, leave it for like 24, 48 hours, something like that.
Oh, right, you have to leave it a while.
Yeah, to let it kind of take effect. But I reckon probably if you just put the sand over the top.
No, it doesn't matter, does it? Because it's not that. Yeah, good. So I did that, felt virtuous, therefore. And then, of course, Sunday, I think probably because my Sunday was more, as you can imagine, less stressful, nothing really at stake. So we did what we do occasionally, Piers and I get excited, we line bike to the Grenadier in Belgravia, which is a famous Muse pub in that area of London. Very, you know, none of those houses in that Muse are worth less than 5-10 million. But entertainingly, they've got a pub there called the Grenadier because where the Grenadiers go. Famously, I think Prince Philip used to go there for a pint and a kebab when he was before, you know, social media stopped him. But entertaining, we turned up for this Bloody Mary about one, and there's this thing, I don't know if you know this, it is the Grenadiers, I think, the household cavalry sort of lot, and they have this parade, and they don't wear their uniforms, so they wear, you know, those big sort of bearskin hats and everything. They all wear a suit, they look like something out of the Kingsman or something, they wear a suit, an umbrella, and a bowler hat. I'm not joking, there's about 100 of them in the pub, Piers, me and Bill. And Scott looking very scruffy, not really. They've all got shiny shoes, bit of thing. So we had our Bloody Marys, and then we line biked into the match. And we had a nice time. We got suitably sozzled. Sun was shining, and saw that great goal from the reverse angle. Because obviously, I don't know if you saw it, but he scored from like he basically got the ball in his own half, just put it into Bournemouth's half, and just lobbed the keeper. thing.
Yeah, worth every first penny goal for 120 million.
First goal of the season from, what's that, 40 yards? How long is the pitch? That's 40 yards from halfway line, is it?
Yeah, I can't remember what that technique is called. It's, oh, that's it, hit and hope.
Yep. We'll take it when it works.
Because he shanked it.
Well, lobbing Klaus is a favourite pastime of ours because, as we know, Klaus gets lobbed, he gets furious, and often stops goalkeeping as a result of it. So it's double win, really. The team that he's playing for stop having a goalkeeper because he won't goalkeep.
I was actually just pleased to see that Casado had made it out of Declan Rice's pocket. It's time to score the goal.
Oh, that's sweet. Because that is probably your... We won't go there too soon, but we're going to talk about our best game of the season. That is probably the highlight of your season, beating Chelsea 5-0, isn't it? Because that's when you still had a hope.
Hope or not, we could be mid-table and beating Chelsea 5-0 is...
No. But it was a catalyst for us. You realised we won every game after that.
Just in time to get rid of your manager.
Just in time to sack him for showing form.
Although, we're sliding.
We are slipping into it. I think we know. We can go to the football. We have the weekend.
I've got one thing. Mm. I had a massive moment on Tuesday, personal moment. I took some students that I work with to play on the pitch at the Emirates.
No way.
So I was on...
Shut up.
On the pitch at the Emirates, slotted a cheeky goal.
Hang on, was anyone else playing yesterday?
No. No defence.
Who cares? I'll be doing
got,
exactly
like, got a head shake from a steward because I wasn't. It's like you can't take it away from
yeah,
me.
I've done stand it. Out to your
I've done it. I have a little.
Brilliant.
A little
oh,
bit,
so they got to play on the pitch.
They got to play.
The kids.
Yeah.
A proper game.
Yeah, they were like small-sided games.
Yeah.
On the pitch, they set up goals and stuff.
That is brilliant.
And
that's good.
And yeah, obviously. They had. It was all about them, obviously.
Yeah.
But I had kind of.
So how time did you set it up? Life. Was there anyone even defending?
No. It was just give me the ball. I'm just gonna.
Did
slot
you get it filmed?
I'm just gonna slot it. No.
Eschen.
It's here in my. It's seared into into my mind forever. I have a little bit of grass.
Now, isn't there an unwritten rule that if you score in a professional stadium, you have to do the Ravanelli? The shirt has to go up over your head, and you have to do an aeroplane.
Yeah, I'm not.
That's funny you should say that, Ravanella, because I scored on Monday. I didn't realise that was what it was called, but that is my favourite goal celebration. I remember there was a, I think it was the opening sequences, or it's some comedy show, where he does the Ravanella and then he runs straight into the fence because he can't see where he's going. I'm like, oh, it's always been my favourite. And so, funny enough, I did it on Rich.
Richard, hello, sir.
You well?
How are you?
Good to see you.
Are you well? Yeah, very good.
So, I did it. On Monday, because I've been meaning to do it all the time, and this goal did actually, my ball for once wasn't just scuffed and bumbled in or bounced off someone, it did go in the air into the net. So I did the Ravanella, but two things I'd sort of forgotten. One was I didn't have a shirt on because I was overheating because it was quite sunny on Monday. So basically, everyone's now seeing my, you know, Amazonian physique.
You can call it a keg.
And then, of course, I wanted to run towards the camera. I couldn't see the camera because I had a shirt over my face. But what was funny, when I pulled it down, normally it's a bit of ripple of, you know, respect, you know, excitement.
The ripple was
kind of... There was an awful rippling to me. But there was a bit of just stunned and slightly disgusted silence from everybody because I exposed myself on the pitch.
You know, the funny thing is, if we were doing football lookalikes... You're not Ravanelli. Far off the Ravanelli.
That's no point, actually.
It's not bad, right?
That doesn't sound like as much of an insult as my other lookalike is. That doesn't sound like Ravanelli doesn't sound... You know the one... I've told you this before, haven't I? I was interviewing a load of people in a recruitment company, all women under 30. And the owner came in at lunchtime, so I'd interview about five people. She said, oh, they love speaking to you, Bruce. In fact, Jessica just said, oh, I've just been interviewed by Fred West. Why would you tell me that? Why? A, obviously not true. Gemma, funny enough, that's one of her favourite work stories for me. But yeah, so that's good. You missed it, Rich. The reason we were talking about that.
Right.
Because Eschew scored a goal at the Emirates on Tuesday night.
Oh, no! Actual you lucky sausage, how come?
I just took some students there for a play on the pitch.
Chris,
hey.
Here he is.
We're live on air.
We're live.
It's going out. It's going out.
Glory. How are you, sir? Hey. You well?
Good.
So have we discussed the how we're working out the winner of fantasy football yet? Or not?
We have. No, we haven't. No, we haven't. But that, don't worry. That's really controversial.
Are you for real? the winner is the person who finishes top of the league.
No. If only
so
life,
old school.
Issue, you naive buttercup. If only life was that simple.
That's
he's already getting anxious. So
no, fair enough.
But back, yeah. So Eshu scored at the Emirates. So we were just Steve rightly said should have done a Ravenelli, but he was being told off by the steward. So hard to really go for it. But then of course I was just remembering that I in fact did a Ravenelli on Monday night. So the disgusted silence.
It was a slightly disturbing image. Live with us for longer than we'd like.
Even I realise. Some people have got a bit puce, kind of. Anyway, so good. That's it. So. Excellent Tuesday. So we're into Sunday. So yeah, we went to the pub, we went to the game, we saw a great goal. Tell me, did you go?
I did.
Tell me about what was it like? What was the atmosphere like? A profound disappointment. Paul.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
Good to see you.
How's it going?
Yeah, very good. Very good.
We've almost got a seven aside today.
This is good. We're sort that's of like, we, I think so, we're we interrupting Bruce's flow. He's just getting into a very professional.
That's a very polite way of saying go get a drink.
Well, I wasn't actually right. Useful to know that.
Like
no, you've timed
good,
it perfectly.
Thank you. Creature. Well,
creature.
Creature.
Creature. Yeah, thanks.
Good, thank you.
Steve. Good, thank you.
He ran. Okay, I'll be back.
Come back, quick. So, yeah, tell us about it. What was it like? I'm quite curious, because well, snuffed out quite early.
You'd be surprised how quickly the hope evaporates when City score within 90 seconds or something.
Was it that soon? Because we were there going, oh, well, I've got to be honest. And now how I've been sort of leaning towards Arsenal winning the league because City's boring, no one wants Liverpool to win anything. I've got to be honest, I was in a minority in the Matthew Harding lower. They were going. They was had a song which they started singing before West Ham had even scored, which was along the lines of, when Arsenal fuck it up, we're going to have a party, I think was the basis of the chant. They sang quite a lot, Steve.
The City fans.
Spiteful.
They need a party, though, don't they, really?
There was a nothing moment near half-time, wasn't there? When did that...
West Ham got one back.
Yeah, they got one back, and at the same time, I think there was talk in the pub, we'd scored another one as well. There seemed to be a moment of hope there, I think.
There was a West Ham fan who sent out a rumour, who did a thing saying it was 2-2 at one stage.
Yeah.
Just to wind everybody up.
It was one of those things like... I knew
you'd find that funny, Bruce.
Of course that's funny. Yeah, well, that's funny. Yeah. Torment them. Yeah. So, right, you're in the ground. And, of course, it goes out. How do you... Yes, because in the ground, it goes... It's bizarre. It still sort of goes almost like
in the ground,
got a radio.
You're in the midst of doing your butt shuffle where you're trying to just get your ass comfortable for the next 30 minutes.
I was going to say, what goes on with that ground? We don't do butt shuffling at Chelsea. We're standing behind it.
And then before you know it, it's 1-0 City. And there was this slight, a couple, because we went a goal down, and then within the later stages of the first half, we equalised and West Ham pulled one back. Yeah. And it suddenly felt, this is going to be
brief
that,
moment, wasn't it?
That fairy tale. Yeah. And then you remember that West Ham are shit. And it all caved in again.
But you said, Steve, they've saved...
Yeah, I say
twice.
That because hope...
It's what kills you, Steve.
No,
it's
what kills you. But look, we're the people's champion.
Yeah.
We don't get a trophy for that.
And if it had been at West Ham, they might have... If it
yeah.
Home, they
this
might
is, this yeah. is the problem, is that City's running wasn't the one you need.
It was nowhere near as tough.
It was them that fucked us up, wasn't it? So it was those two games in December, West Ham... and Fulham at the end of December that I think caused
I went to that West Ham game, and it was very
you're right, those two and well to be honest though actually it was the Villa fiasco that's what did for you because you should have won that at home.
Well,
right,
I've,
now
I've been looking and I reckon maybe three of the last eight or nine title campaigns have been 89 points plus, so the sad truth is in this current era losing five games is just too many.
No, really?
You just can't. I mean, we drew five as well, I think. That's a lot of points against a City
side.
What
did you end up with? How many points were you on?
89.
Yeah, that seems like enough. I feel like Chelsea have won the league on 89 a few times. We got one where we did think I'd be touched.
This is a distant part. I don't think anyone remembers that shit, Bruce.
It's living memory, Rich.
Very old people, old and bitter people.
Still the last club, not only in London to win a Champions League, but to win the league, it turns out. So quite quite a long time. Now, but because you've arrived just about in time, quickly whiz round your weekends. Chris, I know you. We know what you're up to because we've already talked about it.
Yeah, well, I was
freewheeling on political backhanders.
I went to the Night of 10,000 Personal Bests, Bruce, and
did you have one?
And no, I didn't. But in my head, I did. And it was, you know, it was good. You were there, I assume.
Was there?
Yeah. And it was, it's a good occasion. It's very, very just generous because it's free and everybody's there. And there's lights, there's food trucks,
wait,
and there's beers.
Free drinks? Or
is that no, just, not no, free drinks.
Was that just in the VIP enclosure?
In the VIP enclosure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shit, no, I've just said, I did say, because we're repeating ourselves, which is unheard of on this podcast, but I heard it and wanted to go, and I've never been. And every time I hear it, I want to go.
Yeah, it's good.
And then I come Russell Gemma up.
How many people are actually there, do you reckon?
10,000. Everything's done by 10,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
They shut it at 10,000.
That's 10,000. If they go beyond that, they do actually have to do a one-in-one-out sort of thing. That's 10,000 throughout the course of the day. Yeah. That's the
that's
park
a lot of people, isn't it? That's very
kind
impressive.
Of health and safety capacities.
You need more shit than me, Steve.
No, I just happen to know these random things.
And there was a bloke who jumped through hoops of fire, which was good. He hurdled through some hoops of fire.
10,000 hoops of fire?
And just it had five. Nothing to do with the fire. Beer that was on.
It wasn't his fire, it was he nice did, he said it, as well.
He said it was the best moment
did you
of
go?
His life.
Really?
Jumping through wings of fire?
I did the afternoon of
which was rather
night.
Moving.
Well, that's disturbing. Interesting. That's disappointing. Did you see that, though? That's interesting you say that, because that struck a chord. You know the guy from Atlanta who caught the hat-trick? To beat a team that was unbeaten.
Oh, the Leicester player, yeah.
Did you hear when he was interviewed, he said, that's one of the best nights of my life. And quite rightly, the bloke said, what other nights have you been having? That this is the one of your best nights of your life. But other nights, they're charming, because he's got plans. Good. Anything else at the weekend?
And then I went to the pub with everybody, to this pub, and watched the football. And
on Sunday.
And can we drown our sorrows outside afterwards?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Paul, what was your weekend like? What did you get up to?
Much the same as Chris's. I did the afternoon of the 10,000, not the night.
Sensible, because you're a parent of young children, you're a committed parent.
Because I was going to a 50th on the Saturday night.
Uncommitted parent.
And I had so much fun at the 50th that I got up just in time to go to the pub on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, that was 3-2.
Yeah, I had a good one.
Did you?
Yeah. Ooh, and right. Even then I had to take my youngest to the pub with me, as Chris
knows. Yes. What was? Because you're a bad parent.
Poor Nathan was there, and I sat Finn down next to Nathan. Basically, brought his work to the pub.
Now, on that 50th, that's I just have to delve a bit deeper into that. So, were you doing a kind of Jack 50th behaviour where you're lying on the floor?
No, it was in Never Forever.
Never Forever.
Yeah, the
Kentish Town.
Oh yeah, I knew that.
On Highgate Road. Yeah, the birthday girl had hired out the basement.
Yeah.
And she promised sort of 90s bangers will be on, and it was sort of house music no one had ever heard of, so that wasn't so great. But but yeah, I stood a lot of time by the free mojito jug.
Found very wise.
I was just generally very sociable now, so mindedly kept topping myself up.
Very nice.
Yeah. Bizarre, so. I had my 40th there, exactly there, underground. It wasn't called that then, it was called...
The Highgate. Anna had hers 40th there as well.
Did she?
Yeah.
That's great.
She's about the same age.
And mine was very happy. very happy 40th, because during the day I went to see Chelsea win the league. Because it coincided with us winning the league against Charlton. Well, we already won it, actually.
So you're 78
it
now.
It was 2005. So it was. So all my mates came from the game. Funny enough, they were struggling with reality by the time they got to a 40. So arsehole, because I'd been drinking all day. Good night. Mm. Good venue, actually. Mm. I didn't realise they were still doing that. That's quite useful. Yeah, yeah. So I might think of going there for my 30th. That's coming up. Good. Rich?
Nothing exciting, I have to say. No, nothing exciting at all. I spent some time with these gentlemen in the pub. I think Saturday I was just wandering around looking at architecture and that sort of thing.
Were you?
Yeah.
When you, because you've got a big weekend coming up, haven't you, Rich?
This coming weekend? Mm-hmm. Don't think I have I?
Do you not? I thought you did.
No, my son's getting married next week.
So yes, that's what I meant. Is that not this weekend?
No,
is it the weekend
no,
after?
No, it's midweek. He's getting married on Wednesday and on Thursday. Don't ask me.
No, same I do want to ask you, but I've heard a bit about this, Rich. You weren't there on Monday, so I've got to ask you. quite an unusual wedding, isn't it, Rich? Quite strange about it.
Yes. Oh, yes, you bumped into my wife. I bumped into your wife, actually. Yes.
Did you?
As well, yes.
Is it me, or is this podcast taking a very...
dark turn.
It's a dark turn for me. It's a dark turn for me. Rich is going to fess up. This is... Obviously, Rich's son's getting married. Moment of great celebration. Culturally, what do we do at moments of great celebration?
Oh, I have heard this, yes.
Go for a drink, don't we? No, a dry wedding.
There's been some renegotiation, so the drinking can
Did
start.
You actually faint? I just love to have seen your face.
What? Yeah, a wedding with no alcohol?
Does that even qualify?
I think even Sue's, even Sue's.
It's easy with saying yourself.
She tries to get me to drink less, but she said, no, on this occasion, Rich, I'm with you.
Rich, on this occasion, Rich's behaviour is appropriate because it's a wedding. In fact, he does it on other days. Yeah. It's different.
I can't pull my pants down and run around the table or the altar.
I want to hear all about it. Fortunately,
sure, the pictures will be in the Camden New Journal. Police section.
Let's hope.
Wanted.
Oh, yes, bizarre. I thought it was this weekend, so that's good.
No.
Excellent. So we've done weekends. Yeah, back to... back to the game actually on Sunday. I am curious, what was the atmosphere like? Because in the end, you gave it a good go.
Yeah. I think just for football in general, it kind of needed either West Ham to score first to see it. I mean,
Man
everyone.
City not to score in the third minute. Yeah, a good start.
Exactly that. So it just kind of
drained. Nasty piece of work.
But even if it had gone like the Spurs game, it had gone to. I mean, because that was 0-0 at half time, wasn't it? So.
So it just needed something.
Yeah, to keep it going.
You said that, Steve, a couple of years ago, Liverpool were in the Arsenal position, and City went a couple of goals down to Villa, and suddenly you think. This is actually going to happen.
It's actually worse.
It did not happen.
Don't
they go down in the last game of the season? They went down.
No, City were down.
Yeah, two goals down.
They turned it round.
No, West Ham could have gone 3-0 up, and we would have still been sitting there thinking, "This isn't going to
go wrong."
But
it was a much better way of thinking than.
The buzz went round the pub when West Ham hadn't. Was it 3-2? They scored a second goal. And there's a buzz, and it was swiftly disallowed because Suchek had punched it in.
The header or something.
The non-header, unfortunately.
Well, it's gone mad, isn't it, when a punch goal isn't allowed on the basis of it would have been more interesting.
It's exactly what you were saying in June 1986, wasn't it?
It was a funny punch.
But the atmosphere was a bit like, by that stage... didn't really matter whether Arsenal won or not, you were thinking, because they're going to lose anyway, which wasn't a good feeling.
Well, that was cheering the Chelsea boys up, because they said, wouldn't it be amazing if City draw but Arsenal actually lose? And then that would be, then even I was starting to think, comedy value, Arsenal, that would have been very funny.
To be fair to Arsenal, that's what Spurs would do.
Yeah, that would be Spurs would have to step into the front.
I have to say, I haven't seen as many Arsenal shirts as I saw on Sunday.
Right,
there were a lot of that, wasn't there?
The streets were full everywhere. So,
and that's a very good point.
Two decades of not winning the title will help you forget what that was like.
I was line biking and I was quite far out, going west, obviously. And I saw a couple of father and son, I think, on line bikes with their shirts, obviously going the other opposite direction. And a little moment actually, I said, "Good luck, lads." And they were all cheers. I didn't have the heart to say, "I'm actually going to the bridge," but maybe I should have done it. Make you laugh, because they genuinely meant at the time. If they go,
well, there was a strange thing. We launched our new home kit a couple of days before, and it's tradition that you kind of wear it if you're at home for that last game, a bit of advertising. But Arteta canned it. Didn't want any changes going into the game. No complacency. So we wore this season's kit.
So will it happen next season? You say we as in the crowd or the actual team, you mean?
No, I didn't see very many, the new ones a little bit. It's a warmer.
It's not out yet.
It's out, but it's a warmer. You have to see it a few times before
Really shit?
It's not really shit. I mean, we've had some shit kits. It's not.
We've all had shit kits. Yeah. That's okay.
Can I do a poll? Who thinks starting with Eshu, who thinks we're going to win next year?
No, they're not. They're not going to win.
Fucking are. What do you think?
Yeah, of course they do. Come on, Eshu. No, actually, you've got to go, haven't you, Eshu?
Yes, I
So we do have to, very quickly, because it is entertaining.
Chat to me as well.
Hey. He's kind of crazy. So we do have to acknowledge, whilst Eshu wins Monday Night Football Fantasy, which, well, correct me if I'm wrong, we were talking about this a lot. There's money in. There's money in it, isn't there? But then, there is. I think Jack said, "We'll put all money in, and the winner gets." And it was a tenner, and I thought, we can't even get people to pay for the game on a Monday night. How are we going to get money for that? But the other thing is, there's been somebody sidled up to me on Monday.
Who could that be?
And he said, "Actually, Bruce, because I only played 37 games instead of 38, I think I might be close to beating SU," which. I've done the maths, I'm afraid, SU, and actually it turns out that on average you got 61.47,
yeah,
and Chris got 61.18.
So still won, yeah, of course.
Oh, even in spite of that dirty unhappy.
Oh, look at me. Oh, no. I think there's some merit in actually being able to get your team in on time.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's
it, that should be a lot. So the team was banging in that first year. I put it in half the year late. I never done it before. Points. I didn't know. And it was a storm. Well, like, not like this.
But entertaining, I was hoping, I did this tragically on the train to Manchester this morning, and I was thinking, I really hope, because then we can have a whole debate about who wins, and then we'll have to kick it upstairs to the International Tribunal of Sport, and then we could exactly come down on that point. You can't be arsed to get your team together in the first game.
The whole point of fantasy football is doing your team
and
every
then,
week.
Chris will be a tenner.
Chris in the same boat as Harry Scannell, though, which is not a good point to be
in. I was the best of the team.
And then two of them. Scannell has had an absolute shock.
Well, that's
yes, he has, hasn't he?
Well, a bit
he
like here. So he stopped doing anything except...
Because he trusted his boys, didn't he?
Well, he trusted his boys, which meant I don't have to do anything. Then they got into sight.
He fell down when he made 20 transfers.
Yeah.
Forgot to click the...
And he was outraged. He was furious.
He did not stick to his chaps was when he lost out.
He tried to do a wild card but didn't press the wild card button.
They should have told me.
And entertainingly, Steve reckons that's why he's been about four times since then.
I'm going to preempt a later question and say that's still going to be my highlight of the season.
His face was funny. What? And what was brilliant about it was he hadn't noticed. Steve had to point it out to him.
I didn't have to. I just chose to.
He goes, "What? What do you mean?" I said, "No."
I still don't think those 20 points would have made much difference.
There was more. It was 52 penalty points.
I mean, that broke what was left of his soul. We haven't seen him much since.
He has a soul, to be honest.
Well, the other funny thing about he failed another surprising no-show at Monday Night Football for Harry, but Jem did say quietly before we kicked off. He said, "Yeah, I did see Harry this morning as I was going to work at 9 o'clock, coming off the Heath."
He was coming off.
So immediately Al's son Joe got a game because we thought he's not turning. But
so,
yeah,
gents,
so congratulations to SU. You didn't, I'm afraid, win no clean sheets because Thomas the Frank Engine.
Who is this person I've ever met?
Obi,
Brentford fan.
Brentford fan, he came on. He doesn't play Monday Night Football. He's a mate of Harry's, but bizarrely he does know what he's talking about, even though he spent the last 6 months modelling in Japan.
No,
he has still won. He has 2,404 points. So he's only
until
what's
I
that,
see
70.
Until I see him, he doesn't exist.
He's coming later, Eshu.
No,
thanks for coming, mate.
I'm going to be here, gents. Thank you.
Very much. See you, mate. See
all
you soon.
All the best, and bring on next season.
Yeah, next season. That's the beauty.
We'll get our bet in early. We'll put the money in before the season rather than after.
Nice. So kind of right, yeah, so we've done the Arsenal. I suppose we're gonna do the Steve's reminded me. Highlight of the season and this can be anything you like. It can be your team, it can be another team, just thing, and it can be highlight. Actually, you know what? It can be highlight all both highlight and low light. Worst moment of the season, best moment of the season. I could go first. I'll go first on highlight because it's so precious for you. I can only and I can vividly remember it. And I met obviously on here. Your goal down in something like the third minute of injury time. Thinking that we are utter shite again, we've cocked up, and I think pretty sure we'd gone two up as well, so we're 3-2 down, and then we get an equaliser and then a winner in the next 7 minutes against Man United. Now obviously not what it was beating Man United,
no,
but it is still that those last minutes, and even Pete and Piers rightly said, thing is, Bruce, even when we were brilliant, you don't get moments like that very often in a football match where you're sort of thinking, it's all, what a waste of time, and then it flips and everyone's forgotten how shite we are. That's my highlight of the football season. Even better than the 50 yarder on Sunday, which was funny because that was a long way for us to see.
Yeah, he got nominated for goal of the season.
Well, you said that on Monday. Yeah. Somebody said he came third.
Yeah, so apparently.
It's quite good. One goal, 110 million. He's still, I'd say, a fairly bad return on investment.
About 2 million per metre.
Exactly. It's better value than Rwanda, though.
Yeah. So who's got we'll do it in order. We'll do best of the, and then we'll come to the misery. We'll finish on misery. Who's got their?
Well, mine is actually. It was not one of the big leagues. It was a game played on Monday night at Fleet School, and the ball kind of rolled out to me, and it just. I don't know. I just hit it, Bruce. Managed to get my laces through it, and it went top bins.
Nice.
And the, I can't remember the goalkeeper. After I put it out on my socials, as you do.
Yeah.
And one of my friends said the goalkeeper was a bit statuesque. And who was that goalkeeper? I can't remember.
No idea. Yeah.
Tall guy.
Klaus?
Was he? It was you.
What?
I don't remember that. Were you sure? I was going to say, was I at that game?
You didn't see it, it flew past you.
It's like a car crash, I've forgotten all about it.
So yeah, that was a fine moment, really. I mean, the actual football, I mean, I went to Arsenal a few times, I saw them win mostly. I think probably the first game watching Forest, just because everything was hopeful and new and shiny.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of, when you open a drink or something, the first thing, you know, it's like that first sip.
Not like if you open ham, then it smells of fart.
Or dry roasted peanuts.
I think smell of fart?
Yeah, if you put your nose right in there, like a lot of things.
That's from like the Sheffield United season.
Okay. I'm regretting introducing smells. Anyway, yeah.
We've got another podcast.
But I'm not really a proper football fan. As you know, I'm
you support Hull, I thought. How did Hull get on?
But, you know, I remember the first time I went to the Emirates and I just thought, I was really enjoying it, and then I just suddenly thought, all of you are all mad. It was a bit like that scene in Rosemary's Baby when all the they're all sort of chatting away, and then they say, "And we are going to give birth to the Antichrist."
The Antichrist. What you thought that?
Well, I just sort of I was chatting away to all these people around me, and then as it was getting close to kickoff, the first time I went, this was like back when it was at Highbury,
right?
And they're all I could hear all their mouths getting dry, and they were going kind of getting all weird, and it was. And I thought I shouldn't. I don't really belong here.
Give a toss.
Care. It's not going to shape my life in the way that it's for these people.
And that's a suspicion that you've just confirmed, because nobody's got a dry mouth at Chelsea because they've been drunk so much before kickoff.
But these were kind of respectable.
It could have been the volleyball
turning up saying, it's got a salty
flavoured snare. We don't care. We don't know where we are.
I felt a bit like John, the character in the Fast Show, you know, the one who sits there with his cheese board and supporting the arsehole. I considered whether I should go full in on that and start really annoying people, but I didn't.
Yes, I do.
It's quite tricky to get a picnic camper into a football ground these days. Yeah.
Well, it's gone mad.
It's not at the Emirates.
You can buy it there.
Actually, I've got to. Well, I've said this before. I've been at Emirates Corporate. I have been there a couple of times. That stuff where it's all included. I don't like to think. I think I do know how much the tickets are, and that is astonishing. Like champagne, as much as you want. The food's amazing. Any drink you want, all the way through. Special little blankets. I mean, it is amazing.
Special
blankets, keep your leaves warm. And when I was there, Arteta's, before Arteta was the manager.
It's the authentic football fan experience.
Arteta's wife, who is Hispanic, and kids were like 5 seats away from me. And my hosts were just desperately trying to. They suddenly realised what they'd done. They got an idiot from Chelsea, giving him too much drink. And I think Drogba was playing for some Turkish side. And they suddenly realised the only reason I accepted it was I was hoping Drogba would score and not Arsenal out of the knockout stage of Champions League. But they're astonishing. That is astonishing corporate. I've never had anything like it. Brilliant. Chelsea, even the corporate is a ham sandwich and a pint of bad ale.
So I've had corporate at Chelsea. It's not that.
Not that bad. Actually, it depends. Which side were you on? Were you in the newsstand?
Not the Chelsea side.
No, in the corporate in Chelsea, where were you? Were you in the new stand or the old stand at the side?
I don't know the bridge well enough to answer that. Alcohol had been taken.
It was a lot. Yeah, let's not dwell on the corporates.
So your highlights, what was your...
Well, I think mine was in the company of Ian Beale and Dua Lipa.
Watching started this conversation.
Ian Beale.
Dua Lipa was there.
How is Ian Beale the name you pick out of that sentence?
Yes, exactly. Watching Virgil van Dijk rise to head home a corner in the 118th minute against Chelsea.
What?
Was it just the three of you?
There was a radio box. Really? There was a couple of DJs. Dua Lipa's acting boyfriend, who I actually recognised. I didn't recognise her, but I recognised him.
Oh, nice.
Was that Ian Beale?
What's he?
No, he's not Ian Beale. Ian Beale, who was a closet.
That would be CD.
But tell me that would not be a great closet. Couple. Yeah. Ian Beale and Dua Lipa.
There's the whole sitcom there, isn't there?
To give him his full name, Adam Woodjatt was as pleasingly Partridge as you'd hope he would be. He did start one sentence with, "Well, my friends in the SAS said," which is exactly what you want him to be saying.
Now, who is he again? What does he? What's he acting in?
He was
Ian Beale as a character.
Ian Beale on.
Ian Beale said that. I thought you meant Dua Lipa's.
No. He's properly famous.
Who is he? Excellent. He's got a mate in the SAS, of course.
But
mates,
of course, yeah, mates, yeah,
mates.
Are you also?
What did his mates in this? But they say fuck off, Ian.
Because they don't know what he's called.
No, yeah.
Well, it was all about the true origins of COVID, of course. So, that's probably a rabbit hole we don't want the podcast to go down.
You get a lot of follows. But
he also bragged about, because we were all guests of BT/EE. And he once bragged that he had a very low customer number at EE, like single digits. That was his, you know. Not that he's been on EastEnders for 30 years, but he
was one of the first
customers. Yeah.
He's like, you're right, he's Partridge.
Total Partridge.
You could have met him and thought, I'll just do him.
That is weird.
He's probably being charged a fortune for the worst level of data then ever, isn't he? He's going to be fucked over.
Yeah.
You'd hope so. You would hope so, yeah.
Good. That is a good one. And I do get it because, well, in the end, that was the highlight of your season because the quadruple vanished into thin air almost immediately after that, didn't it?
Almost immediately after.
Yeah. It was the worst farewell tour.
He was off. Which...
Did he announce it before that or after?
No, before.
Just before. And that was it. He won that. He thought, this is it. He's going to run it all through.
I didn't quite think that, but...
No, I think he thought that. Deluded stalk.
Well, I'm looking to see what he comes up with our new manager next season. I just...
It's going to be hard.
You're going to be very hard to whip up the same level of loathing.
I always hated Klopp, but he definitely grew on me for loathing. He was an easy target. But then Tim on Monday night said, "Bruce, is it not odd, do you think, that everybody loves Klopp except you?" And I said, "No, I think history's shown general public are fucking idiots, and I'm the only person that's seen through." But he was quite easy. Tim was probably baffled. He said, "Even I don't hate him, and he's a Man United supporter,
and he hates lots of people."
And he's saying he's angry. He's like most Monday night footballers, they're twisted, angry people.
He's not angry, you, Rich.
Yeah, well, I've got good reason.
but you're right. I'm gonna have to find someone else.
I think it might well be. I might turn it in on myself. It might be the ownership of Chelsea. I might turn it on because I'm pretty pissed off about Poch being. Well, I think he's going to Man United, and the fact that Man United are more appealing than your team at the moment, not a good sign.
Where is Vincent Kompany going off to somewhere extraordinary? Bayern. Is that happening, or is that just a...
Well, apparently it's advanced stages.
Failing up. He's been approached,
Wow.
Burnley to... Blimey. Callum might turn up. We could get his view of it.
Yeah. There's a Burnley stalwart.
Right, so who have we got? We've had you. Steve's highlight of the season?
Good question. You know, in this world of eccentric money in football, I think it's quite nice to see your club give things back to the, you know, give something back to the little boys. And I think when you're 3-0 up...
Move on to Rich.
Jules!
Hey! What if something you're giving back...
Steve, this is Steve Jules, Monday Night Footballer. Steve, sorry.
You're right.
Wait, Steve. Steve, your highlight.
So
giving something back to the little people.
To the little people.
Yeah.
So I think when you're 3-0 up at Spurs,
yes,
and you give them back a couple of goals just to,
and hope,
just to cheer them up a little bit. It's nice, you know, you're coasting. Just give Spurs 2 little goals back, just to make them
give
go
them
home
think
feeling
they might be all right.
Just make them feel like, you know, they've had a good.
That
day
was
as
the
well.
Highlight, was it?
Yeah.
Because you
we did that a couple of weeks later with the four two. It was getting embarrassing, so we thought let them have a couple.
It's what you don't want fans paying that kind of money for tickets.
They might sack Ange as well,
and they also might sack.
Yeah, just keep him going. Just keep him in.
Yeah, we. We didn't get that memo, even though we were rubbish. We just scored 2 goals and said, we're shit, but we're not as shit as you are.
I never forgave Jerdan Shaqiri for absolutely demolishing United once and getting Mourinho sacked.
Because you keep him as long as possible.
You know, a 2-0 that was fine, but then he came on a sub, scored a couple, sat one up, and then Mourinho's out the next morning.
Yeah,
you know, just,
you've got to play the long game.
You could have strung that one along a bit longer.
I'd
great.
Like to have that thought for the FA Cup final with Ten Hag, but I don't even think winning that's going to save his. I'd love him to be at United next season, but it's just not going to happen, is it?
Well, I mean, it's almost win-win, because if they recruit Southgate, England do well at the Euros and they take Southgate.
Well, they reckon that, but they think it's Pochettino's going there.
That would be a semi-competent.
Why would he want to do that?
Which,
well, I did say, why? I mean, all right, Chelsea's a shit show, but why would you go there? But then, upsetting as it is for everyone around this table, Man United are biggest team in England and arguably the world. They're
you
up
know,
there.
I've said that this season, but now I look at the fact they don't even have a proper roof on their stadium and that there's leaks in the dressing room. I'm not sure they are anymore. I feel like they're...
No, you're right. There's definitions of it, but the fact is...
At some point
is,
that has to...
I guess if you're that sort of person who's so competitive you end up managing a Premiership football team, do you sort of think there's sort of tiers in there? Man United's got to be top. Man United, Liverpool, maybe Arsenal, then it would be sort of Chelsea and a few others. So they just can't say no because they think I can turn it around.
Well, it's interesting because I was talking, so my eldest is 12, and I said, you know, how many people support each of the big teams in at school? And he said, you can only think of one friend who supported United.
Oh, really?
The Spurs fans and Arsenal fans, as you might expect.
Yeah, local. Yeah.
Plenty of Liverpool.
Yeah.
Bit of City.
Yeah.
But only one United fan. And eventually that's going to pay forward. That's going to, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
If
that's
taken time. Will dry up if they don't have that many fans.
Something.
Anymore.
They have to have the youngsters come through. Because, like Chelsea, just at the ground, you see there's loads of 20, 25 year olds. You think they're only really here because. We had 20 years of winning stuff.
Bent Russian money.
Man City.
Bent Russian money.
Yeah.
Opposed to just
nothing.
I don't know where the Arsenal money came from. Something disgusting.
Let's hope so.
But I think, you're right. Success is there. You only support Liverpool because they were winning everything when you were a kid.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of does grow it all. So you're right. You're right. If it keeps going. Cause how long is it? I keep forgetting. When did Ferguson fuck off?
10 years ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
It would be longer than we think. And therefore, you're right, there are a load of kids growing up, certainly not in, nobody in London is going to support them. I was in Manchester, though, interestingly, today, and this bloke I was interviewing is a young lad, and he supports Man United, even though he's from High Wycombe. But funny enough, he has relocated to Manchester.
Yeah,
which is better, which is definitely better than a High Wycombe.
At least he's committed to it.
But you know, he's going to have got a good job on there. But you're right, it will start. You know, how long did it take for Preston North End to go from the biggest team in the country?
But also their global fan base will gradually... There's always a lag, isn't there? It's like how people still listen to Oasis in parts of Europe.
Spain.
And gradually that will catch up as well, and people in Asia will stop no longer buying Man United shirts. And that, I guess that's partly why they brought in Ronaldo and people like that, to try to keep the brand alive, even if the football was shit.
Preston North End, of course, were notorious for failing to maintain a social media presence at the time.
They didn't have any Twitter followers.
Idiots. Zero. They were just there with the bloody hobnail boots.
Good. Okay, so who's not had their happiest moment?
I quite enjoyed Jordan Henderson's visit to the Middle East.
Something we can agree on.
Yeah,
something we can agree on.
And then his return with his, you know, whatever, his head between wherever the fuck it was between. What a moron! What a fucking
what a twat!
At this point, I'd like to defend Jordan and no,
because Paul did defend Jordan when I said if Jordan Henderson, because we're talking about this is Monday Night Football WhatsApp. If Jordan Henderson is the answer, I'd like to know what the question is. And you said they just play up a ridiculous shot of him scoring a goal against Chelsea, relevant because it was
a 1-0 winner.
Yeah,
against
absolutely
from 35 yards.
And then I brilliantly wasted a good 10 minutes when I should have been writing a report, Paul, that I'm holding you responsible for. Brilliantly found a clip of him celebrating not getting the ball off the goalkeeper like he'd won the World Cup. Did you see it? Yeah. I put it on the WhatsApp group. He's insane, Jordan. I mean, he's conflicted, obviously. LGBTQ rights massive fan goes to Saudi Arabia for millions. I mean, I know, I get it, he's been in Liverpool for a long time.
He's had a difficult, if financially rewarding year. So, yeah.
I like that Rich's highlight is so negative. Very reassuring for me. Jules, Jules, should we introduce yourself? Jules, stalwart of Monday Night Football, films all my goals. Where is the clip of my goal, winning goal this Monday?
I haven't been able to. I've been hounded
by everyone. This working business, Jules. Prioritisation.
Nothing. I've got work all of a sudden.
Right, Jules. Well, I'll give you a personal coaching session later about what's important in life and it isn't work. When there's a film out there of me not just scoring a goal, Jules, but then doing the, what's it called?
Yeah,
a Ravenelli.
You never went to the camera, though.
Well, I didn't know where it was. I had a shirt on my head.
It sounds
revolting. That's your job. I'm just the creative force. Your job is just to edit it in. Anyway, right, Jules, what was your highlight? Jules is a goon, therefore.
Goon, miserable. Well, yeah, miserable, deluded idiot.
I mean, the streak of winning all the time, but then losing one game.
Which bit was there?
I haven't been following as much as I should be, so I can't really say as much.
Was there a bit where you thought, well, "This is it's good to be a goon"?
It's good to be a goon at the last part of the season when we
you thought
when it was on the roll, and then Aston Villa trip was up.
Yeah, and actually that is a very good
memes
point.
On it online of like of Arsenal winning and beating everyone, different characters, but it's like Man City coming in a sweep away.
And this is not just for the. Not just for Jules, but the Arsenal fans on the table. But after you've been tripped up by Villa and you still had a run of, I don't know, five or six games of winning everything, could you take any joy in that? Because we've been there seasons previous and it's just you abandon all hope because City are just not going to drop any points.
They just don't do that, really.
And I was listening, I was talking to Arsenal fans, they were still optimistic and I thought,
Have
you not been paying attention to what City do?
We were optimistic because we were hoping against all hope that Tottenham might actually do something.
Yeah,
And Haaland was sort of off the boil. I did my bit by captaining him throughout the season, which ensured he scored very few goals.
I like that he played quite well. I like that
only the very last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, no, he was a bit of shit through. I mean, you remember Roy Keane?
Something wrong with these glasses? I'm just going to sort them out.
Cheers,
Rich. I have to go and do a selection from training with my eldest. So
we'll come back. Why were we still talking shit at midnight?
Is there no sort of boundaries on this one?
Obviously, we'll edit it.
Lingua franca.
I feel like the editing that really makes it.
He's obviously very keen to do this thing.
He said he was coming. What makes me laugh is, have you noticed somebody missing again?
Yes.
Creature, please.
Yeah. This is my third appearance in the pod and not once have
you he said he's still coming and Obi said he was coming as well.
Oh, that'd be good if Obi came.
He said he was coming.
Have you brought the trophy for the presentation?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you have. Yeah.
I'm giving the microphone.
Okay, well,
cheers, Paul.
Later. It's been a pleasure.
Well, look, message us and we'll let you know if we're still here.
I will.
Cheers,
yeah. Steve.
Cheers, mate.
It's been a pleasure. Jules. See you on. Take care, guys.
Take care. So, I think that's a good point, actually, Jules. And as, again, obviously, almost neutral observer of the Premiership race, I think what you've got to remember is you totally fucked it up last season. You really bottled it as Arsenal supporters. But actually, this season, you really didn't. Back in the day, you were allowed to lose one game in 10 or whatever it was that you won. And so it is a bit weird, City just don't drop points. I'm finding it a little bit odd, because they do lose games, City, so how is it they never lose in the last 10 games. Do you know what I mean?
It doesn't, yeah, little decisions.
And they've done it for years.
In their way.
It's suspicious.
You remember the Wolves foul that wasn't a foul that ate Nuri on?
It's just pure.
He ran over to Son after the game. I saw the footage from shaking hands with Son, passing on the back.
Who did?
Pep. What do you think he said? I've made sure your family are all safe. Bastards. Yeah.
Well, that was the interpretation from it.
So, we've lost everyone. Rich will be back. But worst moment, darkest, most why do I bother moment of the season?
I mean, obviously the Villa one is the standout.
Yeah.
But you know, I guess that goes without saying, probably.
Was it? Yeah, because it was all quite near the end. Was it, my memory right? Did they score a couple at the end, Villa?
Well, Villa was the only defeat this year, wasn't it? So
was it the only defeat this year?
And it was quite, and they were quite. The goals were quite late.
And you've got the
that's my memory was it was near the
end. They were 1-0 down. And you thought, oh, you know, and we were away at Devon, and Rob was streaming on his phone. You had to drive like 8 miles to get to a pub that showed the fucking football.
Well,
and
so you did that, Chris, as a proper dad.
I should have done, I know. And then and he was kind of getting more and more furious, and I was saying, we've got to go, we've got to go. And then they scored another one. Fuck's sake.
And the problem is, it was very obvious the way that the game was unfolding. We weren't quite threatening to score, but there was loads of space on the counter.
And they were quick, exactly. They're quick on the counter.
I think off the top of my head, it was 0-0 at half time.
Yeah, I think it was all quite late.
What happened in the home game earlier? What happened in the earlier season game, Villa? That was the home game,
and the at Villa was McGinn scoring almost really early, wasn't it? And then Arsenal started dominating the game, but again just didn't score.
So they're a bit of a bogey team.
And then you've got the Emery angle, which adds to the you know, what would have happened if you'd completely backed that manager.
And Martinez as well.
What's the phrase? Revenge, the dish best served cold, because he was really pissed off about it, wasn't he, Emery? He felt really.
I'm partially convinced that had Villa got relegated but had just 2 wins all season against Arsenal, Emery would have still been happy. I'm not suggesting he's bitter, but when you get stuck with Pepe.
Well, in the end, yeah, exactly. And in the end, their Champions League football that season, which I hadn't realised, because Villa, to me, they're a bit of a bogey team for us, even when we were good. And I felt like they'd been in the Champions League, but they haven't been in it at all, ever. Since it's existed, obviously they won it. Because they were one of those teams that when we were winning the league, they'd turn up. Them, who's the other team? Nottingham Forest turn up with their Champions League cups, because of course we hadn't won it. And I really liked it, actually. But that's exactly what you should be doing.
I mean, it's good.
Gloating about winning the Champions League with a team that hasn't won it.
Next season, when you see Villa in the Champions League, most neutrals will kind of have a bit of a buzz. Something different.
And it is nice to be a different team, you're right.
Please.
That's very good of you, Rich. I heard that then.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Cheers.
You're still off the sauce.
I am. Well, yeah, I'm recovering from a long, painful season.
Is it? But are you also recovering through your long, painful? Can you clean up before it's finished, Jules? Thank people for less. Are you over the illness though? Because we've been dragging that out.
Yeah, chest infection almost lasted longer than Arsenal's title race.
Yeah, but it's gone.
Finally gone.
Yeah, good.
Six weeks of coughing.
And then looking at you two, I can't help feeling gym bunnies. As I've said before, do you still sort of share sort of sweaty?
Well, I've never seen
muscle
you
things.
I returned for the first time this week. After the 6 week absence.
Actually, you are looking quite fit. Are you still going?
I sometimes go, about once a week these days. And I saw Keir Starmer there the other day.
Which gym is
this? He kind of studiously avoids. I know, but he doesn't want to talk to you. I mean, nobody wants to talk in the gym anyway, but certainly not.
I do, because I certainly don't want to do any actual gym work. You chat about the weather. Right, okay. So, worst. So, you missed it, Rich. Worst moment of the season, you're saying Villa game.
I'm also going to throw in Arsenal getting rid of Vivian Niedermayer. for no very good reason. Love which that. Was very. Which
I don't even know what you're talking.
So
about.
So she's the probably the only women's football player that most people had heard of for a long time.
Right.
She scored and she was like there scored all their goals.
Yes. Oh, hang on. No,
and
I do.
And she had this very cool way of not celebrating when she scored. She just looked slightly. She just shrugged and looked slightly embarrassed. I really found that very endearing.
Like you,
none of this country. Exactly. Right, similar. I haven't done it quite as often as
that. That was an accident, and, obviously.
And then they just kind of she got injured. And they've all women's footballers all seem to get ACL injuries, and she had one of those. And then when she came back, she did quite well, scored a few goals, and they said, "Oh, you're going at the end of the season." And she was quite—I think she was a bit upset because I think it wasn't particularly expected. And there's a talk about, you know, doesn't feature in our long-term plans.
I don't know if it's changed, but there was a suggestion she was going to Man City.
Well, why wouldn't she? Because
the WSL's top goal scorer of all time.
Because there was no sense of them kind of managing her exit. And
how old is she?
And she's probably a bit, I don't know, she's probably older than average, I'm guessing.
I think she's 27, I think.
Yeah.
This is a good chance for you to say Chelsea winning the fifth successive title.
Exactly. I'm not actually. I think the passé of the men's game. I think women's WSL is the future, and that's the only thing we should be paying attention to. Five times in a row, four times in a row, fuss about, and actually quite impressive because we blew it. Have to thank Arsenal because we blew it. Can't remember who we got lost to, and then Arsenal beat.
I think Chelsea lost against United.
It was Liverpool.
It was Liverpool. Yeah.
Typical nasty Scousers.
Something like crazy. It was like 4-2 or something.
It was like four
goals in the last 10 minutes. Yeah.
And it was what was great about it. Exactly. So even Emma said, "Well, it's all over. We've gone." Yeah. And then they lost. And then brilliantly, you know, it's that sort of. So they lose. City lose. Give us a little peep, but they had a fantastic goal difference. Chelsea then, and that's why she's a very good manager. I'd like to see her manage Chelsea men's team, actually, even though it's passé and I'm not interested in men's football, because they went out and then tonked Everton 8-0 and wiped up the goal difference.
Was it Everton or Bristol City, wasn't it?
No, it was Bristol City.
Wouldn't it be good to see a female manager?
It'd be great if Todd Burley got her in. She's off to America, isn't she?
She's off to the American national side. I think she worked over there in the past, but she was very good. And what I quite liked about her, because maybe because there's seems to be more honesty with women, she said, "Well, that's it, our season's gone." And I don't think she was playing mind games. Somebody said it, she said, but I said, "Well, I don't think she was. It had gone."
Yeah.
Then she spotted a chink, you know, Arsenal beat City, and then she said, "Right now, we get one, you don't get second chance." Because your whole point was the only thing I was disappointed with, and I don't know if you spotted this, they all kept saying, "I'm not going to leave anything on the pitch." And I was thinking, right, I get it, you know, it's different and that's it, that's the point of diversity.
It's not like Gary Lineker during the World Cup, is it?
Yeah. No, the point is, the expression is, leave everything on the pitch. That's the point. You don't come off, you put it on. And they all say, don't leave anything on the pitch. I said, what are you talking about? So, you know, I mean, I'm being a bit pedantry about this, but I just feel they should get the cliches right. There should always be 110%, and you should always leave everything on the pitch. And I noticed Emma and a couple of the Chelsea players say, we're not going to leave anything on the pitch. And I said, well, yeah, you have naturally have gone to bodily functions, Rich, but that's not what they were talking about. But you're right. Emma, yeah, so that's us. We, I suppose, are in the situation of when Pep leaves City. Who are we going to get?
Well, she was the reverse of Klopp, wasn't she, as well? Because she announced she's going, and she had the big finish, and she won everything. You know, didn't win everything. But she
didn't win the Champions League, but not like Klopp, of course. She doesn't have a dungeon. She doesn't do that disgusting fist pump. In fact, she's so not Klopp in so many ways. Can you believe you put them in the same sentence?
Any chance?
Just nasty piece of work. You know, see, Harry uploaded something where it was basically a montage of him. Punch, you know, fisting his chest and doing fist pumps. Almost vomited on my own phone. So, worst. I'd like to hear your worst, Rich, because your best was sort of the worst.
Worst for John Henson. No, my worst was when we didn't fancy football and I decided to be the patron saint, if you remember. And I thought I'd choose one based on the saint. If you remember, some of the saints we had possession by the devil, accountants, murderers, lepers, juvenile delinquents, alcoholisms, and worst of all, Phil Foden, patron saint of babies. The fucker.
What about? I didn't you have one about people who were patron saint of scared of mice people?
And there was St. Kevin, you had St. Kevin De Bruyne, didn't you?
Yeah.
You had a few good players.
But you did quite well in the end on the fantasy world, didn't you?
Yeah,
which reminded us what this is about.
By cheating completely.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. St. George let me down, Boy Scouts herpes, and I think something else as well. Yeah, so that was my...
you got crossed,
didn't you? I thought
it was
genius, and I actually have. Here you can see the spreadsheet that I created.
Yeah.
Then I thought, actually, fuck, this is a terrible idea. I'm going to switch back and just set up a new team. And at the moment I went to switch, it was like a minute too late. And I was stuck with a bunch of fuckers. I'd used my my free doodah.
I'm a bit concerned that in a very small group of fantasy footballers, the word spreadsheet comes up a worrying amount of times.
Does Eshi have a spreadsheet?
I'm actually more worried by spreadsheet than
so, but he did get when. Well, we obviously did a little bit on the microphone, but before I was saying, I think he bought properly. Cross when I was implying that actually Chris might have beaten you because if you take into account this game, and he said I didn't sweat blood and tears. Did were you there for that? He basically made out he put a lot of effort. He put a lot of effort into.
Well, he did a very strategic thing in that double game week where he saved up his wild card and his bench boost, and he had an entire squad of double game, Chelsea's and City's and Tottenham's, and they all and he got like a. A lot of points, like 100 and something, 140.
I'm in another league full of people that do all of these. What was Eshu's final point score?
He beat you. This is well done. He beat you. He came in with 2-3-3-6.
2-3-3-6,
and you got 2-3-2-6.
So 2-3-3-6. Let's have a look.
10 points.
Does the thing
Steve, can Steve.
Have you divided Steve's points by 38? See what his average per game was.
I did. What have I done with it?
Is it worth mentioning?
I don't think he still beats you.
Everyone's scared about AI at the moment, but we had our own very own AI, didn't we? Deep Purple. 8 out of 12, which seems a bit shit.
Yeah, bizarrely, Piers was still very engaged in it all, but he then said he didn't have. He was sort of implying that he didn't have computer data space to do it. But Piers came in, he was on again a couple of weeks ago. He's still really into it. He'll still message me, telling me what I've done wrong. Not hard, like missed another deadline. But he was quite straight into it, and he sort of enjoyed it all. But he doesn't. I think he might be. One of the only people who's listened to all our episodes, Steve. I'm not even sure you've listened.
I've listened to them.
Chris, I thought you were
unusual.
Lagging.
No, I was a bit behind with 1 week.
So you said Eshu was 2-3.
He was
2-6. In the other league, the winners were on 2-5-4+.
Wow. So our winner of Monday night, no clean sheets, was Thomas the Frank Engine on 2-4-0-4, and they were on 2-5.
2-4-0-4. So he would have finished fifth.
Whatever that other league is,
and that other league is
tragic.
Full of spreadsheets.
They are tragic.
You should keep the no clean sheets live just for this. It's your best chance.
There's two parts of it here, Steve. One of them, I think I'd like to get one of them on. Other one thinks I don't want to ever meet those people because they're tragic.
Well, I don't know any of them because they're a friend of someone in the league. And at the start of the season, he said, "Look, I've got a couple of ringers because we play 20 quid entry and then we divide the money between the top four at the end."
And you came fifth?
Sixth, I think. So I was never
you just missed it.
But when you hear someone say, "I've got a ringer for fantasy football," you think it sounds... it's like a double negative. It's like, well, how can that... All right, whatever, just let them join. It's all free.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they all proceed to finish first, second, third. And you realise, actually, there are people that sit there with...
Yeah, Look, I've enjoyed it. I've got to say I've enjoyed it. I didn't do that badly. I think I came fourth. It wasn't that bad.
Now, the big question is, did you see football differently this season? I already know the answer because you told me Arsenal scores before Chelsea's
games. Yeah, I did watch it. I have to say that waned when it became apparent. What tell you why it waned. It waned because I'm not joking. I literally on four separate occasions was trying to do my team, and then I couldn't. Well, I told you I couldn't. Then I realised I'd missed the deadline, and then once I thought I changed teams, really pleased myself, and realised I changed the team for the next week, and I fucked that up as well. So I sort of lost interest a bit with that.
when he.
But I also got the line: Arsenal scored a penalty, and I thought I had Saka points, yeah. And yes. He didn't take it from a Chelsea fan.
Yes, and I did have that with Cole Palmer on numerous occasions. So no, I did enjoy it, but I did see things differently. You're right. I did, yeah, definitely at points. I was thinking, well, that's good. Certainly here on a Monday night, we'd be watching a game, and yeah. Christ, where we go, that'll be good for you, Bruce. I'm thinking. I actually sort of know that as well. So no, I did enjoy it. I know it was fun. Especially when Chelsea was so shit. I do think it's in relation with your team.
Because Chelsea was shite, fantasy was the right place to go.
And have you recovered from the shock of finding out just how many people are playing fantasy football that you had no idea?
I had no idea. But there's
a secret community.
It is a bit like buying a dog and all of a sudden people with dogs come up to you and talk about dogs. Fantasy football is a bit like that. I have mentioned to people fantasy football and they've gone, oh yeah, I love it. I know I've done this and that.
It's
what
like
are you
the
doing?
Freemasons, there's a secret handshake and everything.
Exactly, Paul. I forgot to mention this. Jesus, I've got him on it. Paul then said it's all about the cups. And he sent me how we. I'd just been knocked out of a cup competition I didn't even know I was in on fantasy football. Yeah. And he said, and I said, what? I said, what is going on? And of course, Paul had just beaten someone else in the fantasy football cup that was obviously in our league. And I was thinking, what is he? Quite worrying. Mind you, should have kept him for longer because he did do really badly in there. I mean, I beat him.
But that
and
was,
he was
that
winning.
Was again Liverpool, wasn't it? He mirrors your team.
And like Harry was different.
He had Salah, fell off a bit.
Went off just
Trent, I think
probably choosing his villa in Saudi Arabia.
Apparently staying, supposedly.
In Jordan's old place.
Is he?
Yeah.
Based on where did you hear that?
Yeah, no,
it's just. Was your inside track on.
I just know. Scouts. Yeah, I
heard. Apparently he's staying.
Oh, I read that somewhere. Yeah, well, exactly. On the internet.
Good. So, have we had everyone's worst?
Have you had your worst?
No, didn't we have actually? What is my worst?
You have so many options.
My one, I've got a lot. You're right.
Yeah.
I think you. Well, and the trouble is, as always, I think it was the worst.
Was that 5-0 against Arsenal? Did you say?
Well, no, because you see, I showed no interest in that, and I wasn't bothered. And a bit of me thought I might be helping. And if then Arsenal win the league, and it's all goal difference, say we won the league for you. So a little bit of me, I'd flipped it already. But I think my worst, but in a way it was my best, I think it was Wolves. I think we got beat 4-2 at home to Wolves. And I think we got our second goal quite late on, so really thrashed by them. So it was the worst on one level, because that is embarrassing, you know, that's not a bad side of Wolves, but you shouldn't be losing 4-1 almost to Wolves. But even then, I enjoyed that, because I was at the game. I don't think we'd had a gummy bear, but we'd had a few drinks. And little Nige went absolutely apoplectic with fury, which is funny.
He's quite an angry man.
Well, you see, you say that. I don't think he is, but he went absolutely lost it at all. Me, Piers, I can't remember who was with us, it was Scott or something, we're just crying with laughter at him because he's screaming, his language is gone. I mean, it's not good where we are, we're behind the goal. The language is bad, full stop, you know. It's appalling swearing all the time, even if it's going well. But he'd lost it completely, and there's a couple of kids, I don't know what they're doing, a couple of kids, young, like under 10 in front of us. Well, we're not in the show. And the little girl puts her hand over her ears like this whilst he's going off on one. And we're just laughing, going, because all of a sudden I'm going from really bit upset to thinking, this is hysterical. Nigel's lost all sense of proportion. We're shit, get used to it. So that was my worst, I prefer it when we're there because you can get it all out of the system.
They are also going competing with Tottenham.
Yeah, that was fun. That was tragic.
Yeah.
That was tragic. That we were almost got above Tottenham, but they somehow managed to flop again over against Sheffield United. That was tragic. But yeah.
Who do you want as manager?
Yeah, good question. I don't.
Frank Lampard.
Pochettino. I'm quite happy with Pochettino.
McKenna.
I don't get it. I don't think.
Why would he do that?
Sunak, he's out of a job in July.
Liz Truss.
But I think that your point is valid. You look around and go, these players. We seem to be looking at managers who've got a team promoted from the Championship. And as you say, there's a big difference, like Potter showed. You even managing quite well, like a decent side like Brighton, it's a big step up. Even like with Chelsea, you've got these nutty owners, you've got these £100 million players, and the pressure.
Didn't you have the biggest paid squad in the Premier League?
But if not, will be in the top three easily. And so I don't see any of those managers managing. I don't. Why do they think they're going to cope? So I don't think any of them. I'm sort of thinking, you know who I'd really like, man?
Mourinho?
I'd really like
Chuck Norris.
Avram Grant.
Actually, I quite liked him. He was brilliant.
I love the way he was called. Would be great.
You remember when he was caught with a prostitute? He was caught with a prostitute, and his wife said, "Well, you know, he gets it where he can." And there was no scandal at all.
Hasn't he still got a flat in West Hampstead?
I bet he does. Dirty or Gertie. But no, I'd like, you know who I'd like back flying off? Ancelotti. I fucking love him. Double, won the double for us. Can't believe we let him.
The idea that you get anyone who they have to walk into a dressing room where they have to boss £100 million plus players.
And Ancelotti, you just look at me, you are.
And it's a very small list.
Yeah, and it is Ancelotti. I mean, he won't come because like there he is, Champions League final with Real Madrid. He's won La Liga again, and he looks. I loved him with that Chelsea because he used to just. He made Wenger look like a baby. Just look at him. You're an amateur compared to me. He was brilliant, and when we won the double, and then I think we came second or third, and he got sacked apparently in the sort of changing room at Man United Liverpool last game of the season. And I thought that Abramovich did quite well with managers. He's quite good at, you know, doing well. But that was disgraceful. I could not believe how Ancelotti was sacked by anyone ever.
But can you imagine a new manager taking on a player and saying, right, you haven't done this that I've asked you, you're out the first team, and the players go, I'm on an 8-year contract. Who do you think's going to last longer?
I'll be here forever.
I'm alright.
And that's what I mean. We basically have
Bench, I'll take Bench for
Klaus. You fucking idiot!
Desperate here. No,
sorry, Klaus is swearing.
Oh, like, you can't come.
Yeah, well done, Klaus.
Hello. Unfortunately, we didn't make it again. Chris, how are you doing, man? Clear out the way from the east.
Yeah. Maybe adjust the level on the mic.
Oh, you need to compress
it. There's no red anymore. It's just white.
Oh my god. So how are we doing, guys?
We're good. We're good. We're just in time. You are just in time. Jesus, so we've got some important questions.
Which is,
I mean, I'm worried there won't be much variety in it.
If you're good for it.
But I'm going to say, so first. First of all, your weekend, how was that?
My weekend? Well, good question.
If you're good for one, then I definitely love Hills.
Oh, I was in Kentish Town, opposite of Chris's home.
Kentish Town, what were you doing there?
With my friend Sissi, fellow Austrian. The bar girl would call her crazy, as she always does with me. Oi! You South African? Oh, Austria, you're crazy, you! I'm like, all right, yeah, five times. I never met you before. It's the fifth time you're calling me crazy, Austrian.
Tay, you missed it Monday night.
It was crazy.
So, of course, Klaus gets here earlier than the rest of us on his scooter.
Yeah.
They're having a fight. Tay and
Brucey,
Klaus.
Don't exaggerate. There was no fight whatsoever.
Flirting, shame.
No.
Is that the...
Yeah, she's sort of dark skin, black hair.
With light eyes. So as usual,
see what I mean?
As usual, I'm coming in and she's always like, where are you from? Like, South Africa, Australia, Austria. Oh, crazy Austrians. I'm like, alright, yeah. And then she starts, wow, these Austrians, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh my god, he's shouting at me. And then she got all flower, a snowflake. Oh my god, he's shouting at me. No, I'm just.
No,
I just give you the crazy Austrian. So it's like getting really.
So I turned up, stung on a massive round, and then you only have 3 points because you and Jack.
Well, which we switch it on.
But what was fun? What was funny was
just
I arrived.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Welcome back.
Still crying from another year of failed chances.
No, I'm an Arsenal fan, which means I have had to survive.
20 years of, yeah.
I have had to survive seasons of Shamak and Sonogo.
A boulevard
of
broken
dreams.
Okay.
We're okay on this one.
Listen to the.
Yeah, it's sad. And the sad thing is, next year we're going to end on 92 points,
and still
second.
But
Pep will go, yeah. And whilst I don't like him, I think that is part of the problem. He seemed to be able to churn out loads of wins. But can I just go back to Monday night? I turned up after you'd had a chat with the bar.
A flirt.
A flirt. I came back to the bar, yeah. Stung with a massive round. But she goes, "Your friend's already shouting at me." And I said, "What is that?" I said to him, "Are you Austrian?" He said, "Fuck off, you tell me that every time I come here."
And then she insists, "I never met you before." Seriously?
I've got to be fair to you, Klaus, I suspect. She has met you before and they've just blocked it out. But
it was very funny. It was very funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
I was opposite you on the weekend in the newly rebuilt slot over house.
Slot over house.
They're called slot over.
In our road, I was thinking you're talking about being in the pub for
literally opposite your
you
house.
You don't know the very famous slot overs.
The slot overs.
Ted Kravitz, the boxing guy from the F1, is one of the brothers.
Oh, Ted Kravitz, yeah.
There's one of the brothers of his.
I didn't know that.
And the other one is the Freeze Art Fair geezer, Matthew.
Oh, yes.
Oh, shit.
So there we go, living there 20 plus years, next to them, not a clue.
I thought you were talking about an architect.
No, the slot overs,
yeah, they're Austrian.
No, she crazy married things into Jewish royalty, let's put it that way.
Nice. Freeze is worth a fortune, isn't it? So what did you get up to there?
Come again?
What did you get up to over there?
Eating a self-made pizza.
Oh.
And being loud as usual.
What did you say about it? Choose your toppings like a kiddie's tea.
Yeah, yeah. It was like my daughter was putting the toppings.
Oh, your kids were there.
Yeah,
okay, everyone. Daddy. Yeah, Papa. You need to do this, Papa. You need to do that. And Papa, hop here. Papa, hop there.
And Papa was like, all right. Carrying her around. Oh, Papa. So, yeah, it was fun. In Lady Somerset Road. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And did you... You didn't go to the game?
No, I had a surplus ticket, and I gave it away to somebody, and I thought like, all right,
why?
I cannot stand see them lose a game. It's just too much after 26 years of
Arsenal. Does it really bother you?
It bothers me, yeah. It bothered me deeply because somehow, the more often we lose, the more often the chances are getting less and less because. Arteta said last year, oh my god, I wish we would be here next year. There we were, and still not.
Yeah, but as I said earlier, Klaus, you bottled it last year completely. This year you didn't. You didn't bottle it this year. You ground it out.
Was it
in the end? Was it a point? Two points?
Two points.
Very different this year, I
think. I think most of our losses were from left back. Kieran Nice and Sinchenko'd, yeah. And against Aston Villa, I was thinking like, who's left back? Oh, Sinchenko, he's the right winger at the moment, losing the ball on the other end of the pitch. And they were both tapping it into an empty goal and bloody Martinez doing us no favours at 0-0 when he saved that
trusted
shot.
Yeah.
That was the game where I think we were on a week before, so that was the game which... unfortunately cost us this year.
Because
it was at the end, there was Fulham where we lost 5 points, which was unbelievable. 10 against 11, 2-1 up, and we're still not bringing it through.
Yeah.
That was the first one, but that was long ago, so we had chances in between to make up, which we did.
Yeah.
And then Emery, Hansa, still that little shit.
Good evening. Nuna Yimadi, I'm a little bim bim. I opened with the Euroleague, but nothing more.
So good, right?
To be fair, that we also dropped points in Newcastle.
I know, but Newcastle was our referee combination, where I'm still not quite sure how that could happen.
This is fucking great. I don't even remember. If you did ask me,
I remember clear and obvious, as they said. That little shit was pushing him down, and then the hand folded in. And oh, yeah, we didn't see anything clear and obvious. Yeah, because you're blind.
Why is your memory not addled with your life? Why is your memory not addled like it should be after your.
It's pickled in bitter style.
You should be able to remember all this stuff.
I have my points I remember, and most of it I don't.
So, what was your highlight of the season?
The highlight of the season? Oh, good question. I think the 6-0 against West Ham. That was great.
Yes.
And the 5-0. Very good. Very good. We had the best year. I never remember us winning so many games in good fashion.
Because we won
before Christmas, between Christmas and New Year, it was like, how on earth are we going to survive in the top four even?
Because
we couldn't get a goal in, let alone any chances. Just like Liverpool's yesterday, they didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it, I read about it.
It was like, they could play another week.
And they weren't going to score.
And they wouldn't have scored.
Weird, isn't it? It's weird how
it was just like you saw from the first minute, Atalanta was up for it. They were biting them, hitting them, and Liverpool was just like, oh, we can't be bloody bothered anymore. And Bachmann,
that
London boy playing for Nigeria, scored a hat-trick, never done before, anyone.
We talked about it earlier, did you see his comment?
You talked about everything!
No, but it's a good point. Did you see his comment was, we was interviewed at the end, he said, it's one of my best nights ever. I mean, the interviews were one of. I mean, how many other nights have you had like that? You know, it's astonishing.
And he was...
He's London, I didn't imagine he's London.
He was born in Wandsworth. I think he even grew up here. Charlton Athletic was the academy. He brought it.
Shit,
I looked it up after I saw him. I was like, where the heck is Lockman with double O? I thought, like, okay.
He ended up at Everton, didn't he, for a while?
Something like that, yeah. Never scored a goal there.
I said Leicester as well.
He was on loan last year, 22.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right. And your worst moment of the season?
The 2-0 against Aston Villa.
That was it.
You knew that's the end of our season.
Were you in the ground for that?
Yeah, and it was horrible.
Were you shouting?
Nah, I never shout. Seriously, what are you talking about?
No, actually, I'm telling you. You got two tickets for Arsenal.
Yeah, yeah, I got two. Mostly I go with Sissi, slot over. And
Can I come with you once?
Sometimes, yeah.
With you. I don't care the game.
Let's try
that. Are you looking to change clubs?
Let's try that.
No.
Yeah, of course.
I'm looking to think this is a level of insanity. This will make Chelsea look like
I had to change the tickets because the first one round, we had a shared ticket from the mayor of the City of London somehow. I ended up with one of those. And every time
the
two guys in front of me saw me coming, you could see like the face falling off them. Not that one again. Jesus Christ.
You are the Blade Rider. Oh, you fucking arsehole. Fuck it. What's the name of the, what's the player you don't like? Shiv.
There's a lot
of Zinchenko. But let's put it up. Zinchenko is a nice guy, obviously, but just on the left back.
Oh, defender. Yeah.
And the sad thing is with Xhaka, because everyone says, like, I hate him. And no, but he was playing left back. And of course, Xhaka is not left back.
Of course.
And how often did he play as left back? Jesus Christ, you put Xhaka as a left back. It's a liability job. And yeah, no one was happy with that. It's true to be said. But at the end of the day,
and
they didn't lose for 52 games.
Because at least you've got, over pampered to the goonery here, but at least you've got a progression. You've done, all right, second again, but you're closer this season. Hopes for next season? Do you think you can win it next season?
As long as we don't buy any more shitty Chelsea
what's
players.
What's going to happen to Man City?
Wait, Havertz! Havertz saved your numerous occasions.
Isn't Man City meant to have, under investigation?
Oh yes, that would be
it. Yeah,
cool.
But
I think that is naive. That's naive, Jules. No, thinking that's going to come to fruition.
Nothing will come.
Somebody somewhere is going to have a new island in the Caribbean, and all of a sudden it will disappear.
They've done the post office. They've done blood. Surely now they can do Man City.
Maybe when Pep goes, once they start to lose, then they'll relegate them.
You're right. They'll wait till
because they won't at the moment. They're the sort of big brand in the league.
But it's interesting. Then when I've talked about this a few times, so I've been up bizarrely to Manchester a lot recently, and they're putting a whole new terrace on the top, and all Manchester people I speak to either support Man United or Liverpool. Hardly any support Man City.
Really?
And well, the people I talk to doesn't mean they don't, but they do say, and I think it's genuine. They struggle to sell the seats. And because they are up against, as we were talking about earlier, butting against Man United. And
they're not as big a brand. There was that. Did you see that piece about? Because it's the final next day, and it's City United, and these people have been taking photos of the players in Manchester for years, decades. So it's still easier to sell photos of internationally of Manchester United players because they're bigger. Whereas Man City don't still have the brand stretch that anyone else does. But you're right.
Maybe in the Middle East, they've
got loads of money. Exactly. And in the Middle East, they do. So I think I think you're right though. Pep goes. He's whilst he's an arse, but it's not as good.
Then Glasner comes, and they never lose again.
Glasner.
Crystal Palace guy. Austrian by chance, you know. But he's coming to Chelsea.
For a year.
So next year he's free, you know.
Yeah.
He'll win five games at the end, and then come on, you need to go. Yeah, that is a bit sad. You're buying a variety of players who you think like, who on earth could fit them in one team? Not even Ancelotti would do a good job, and he's quite okay.
Yeah.
So you're buying all
quite okay, Ancelotti.
kind of stuff together.
It's Austrian. They make us look like overstated. I mean, the British look overstated. The Austrians. No, you're right. Good. So.
Let's put it that way. You're always teasing us. How are your hopes? No coach, 50,000 players, a billion down the drain. So what's wrong with you guys?
You know
Euro what? Conference League, yay!
Exactly.
Azerbaijan, Georgia, here we are.
No, you're absolutely right.
Selling shirts all the way.
So that's a very valid point. So I'm conflicted. So on Saturday, if Man City win, we are in the proper one. What's that called? The European
Europa League.
We're in the Europa. If Man United win, we're in that made up one that's only just started.
Conference League. All right.
So little twisted part of me, because we've not won that because it's only just been invented. I want to be in the Euro Conference League, play teams no one's ever heard of, and then end up. I have to check where the final
is. That is always the best part of this Euro League or Conference League. Never heard, and then some of the names, you know, sometimes you can guess with the it's Norway or this and that, but some of their names are so strange. Where on earth is, and you know where they always are? In Ireland.
I've never been able to spell it.
Interesting. I never would have thought of that, but it was fantastic.
So, Bruce, you just want Chelsea to be a big fish in a small pond again?
No, what I want, Jules, is to be able to get overexcited about shite. You're absolutely right. Because I sort of, in the end, I, as we talked about before, had the perfect football supporter journey of watching a riot once we got relegated again, and then watch us go from that to promotion, to winning an FA Cup, to winning the league, to winning the Champions League, and I've been there for all of those steps. So now
it's all gravy.
It's all gravy, exactly. So I'm sort of, but my hopes are, all right, yeah, I'd love to be pushing for the Premiership and the Champions League final again. But realistically, we're being run by clowns, literally. So.
Oh yeah, the one in the white coat sitting there, like, who the heck is that?
How did Potts?
Her, she. What is that? Is sitting there in a white coat? I thought, like, who on earth?
What is going on?
Yeah, seriously.
Only a Chelsea fan would be excited about entering Europe.
It can't be true. But you see, what I find very interesting now is. When COVID was on, one of my banking friends was like, oh my God, half of these clubs will go bankrupt. They are so deep in debt, this and that. Especially in Germany, there was this. Oh my God, never ever.
None of them
ever got anywhere in trouble, knowingly. In England, you've got the elevator league, where three go up and down, and it's always more or less the same. Or that you can choose before the season, and they look good for going up and down. And now, the last 2 years, was it three up, three down, and it was almost the same? Nearly?
Yeah, the same ones go up, go
and,
down again. Yeah.
And it is a bit like the established laundering clubs, wherever the money needs to be laundered from, they stay where they are.
Yeah.
And I read the article about this money thing. Newcastle has so much money to dump.
but they can't because of PSR. Now they're forbidden. Then in Europe, England looks weird because they're the richest clubs who cannot spend anything. And then you've got Barcelona, Real Madrid, shingling around the billions from one end to the other, selling rights off in 500 years ahead, and everything is fine. Yeah. And in England, all of a sudden, they're having this weird, oi, you break the rules, except your city, and you're going up and down.
It's a Brexit benefit, Klaus.
It's another Brexit
benefit. Oh, yeah, now you can do the
right. Okay, we don't knew this would happen.
We're not going down that road today.
Even I'm on. Whilst I like that we've run, I think 2 hours could be our limit. I know Rich would like to go on forever. So,
most of the audience is around the table as well.
Look, this is slightly more than the audience.
You would not believe I'm sitting somewhere, where was I? In Holland, and then my stepson Boris calls me from Malaysia. Oi, Klaus! Klaus is in the house! I saw it, yeah! And then I say, did you hear? No, but all my friends said there's the podcast and la 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 la. Then listen to it, you bumps. So obviously no one, everyone was like, Klaus is in the house, was a great headline.
Yeah.
And somehow,
actually,
and you wrote it right, that was the best part.
Actually, I'm going to take back my highlight. That was my highlight, coming up with that headline for this.
That was
podcast.
Great. And you,
Klaus is in the
you
house.
You spelled it 100% right, which is unheard of.
And actually,
you looked it up. You googled it.
No, I knew, and I don't know what. Is it Barhaus? I knew that that's how you spell house in German.
Right.
I didn't know that. I didn't have to look that up. I knew it was the same as Klaus.
Yeah, with Klaus, you can rhyme a lot of things. Yeah,
yeah.
That's true.
We've had sometimes you get advice about doing a podcast and they say you need a microphone for everyone around the table.
Idiots.
They have no idea.
Very
Klaus actually isn't here. He's in Malaysia
having a good shout about.
If we do one with you and one with Daisy at the same time.
Daisy's the only one that's as loud as you. Right, I've got it. I am going to call it because I think so what I want you to go round the table. This is really more entertaining. So I think some of you are going to struggle because I'm not entirely sure you listened to one. Your favourite moment of all the podcasts?
Yeah, good question. That's
you got one.
Very good.
Rich has got straight
so many.
I know what you're going to say.
Go.
The one where no one turned up and it was 2 minutes long.
Oh.
I was thinking I might do an hour just for Rich. Harsh, but fair.
What did you think I was going to say?
I thought you were going to say Harry's threesome.
Harry's threesome?
But
that was early in.
But actually, I would
that's
say...
That's my highlight. I never heard it, but that's my highlight.
Like, I think in terms of content, I thought the beautiful story of Piers and Helen.
That is sweet.
Heartwarming.
I did invite them on. Piers would have been here, but he's watching the Indy 500 this week. He's living a life I should be doing. He's watching the Indy 500 and things like that. I did say to Helen to come along, you two could start exchanging Pirelli, Euro.
The Panini don't do it anymore now. It's got its Tops doing it this
Tops
year.
Tops doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't think she can trust herself. I think it's you two flirting away over bloody
well,
Harry Kane.
She drives
what
a hard bargain.
What are they talking about now?
Panini stickers.
That's good.
Oh,
it's hurtful.
Yeah,
that's good.
That was years ago. Well, they're still doing it.
Not anymore.
Oh, all right. Back in. Favourite podcast you've ever listened to?
The threesome. That was perfect.
You definitely.
I never heard it. I like the sort of it alone, but it's great. I love it.
You're not allowed the threesome now because you gave him that one.
Yeah,
I said it was.
No, it was Helen.
I know you said that. Steve, what was your favourite podcast moment?
Well, it has been stolen because I did think Pierce's marriage proposal was the highlight of the season.
So they win an award, that
leads the in the middle of the pitch with a Chelsea ring.
I know.
Is not going
to
be replicated.
And I sort of knew bits of it when he actually went to details. But realised they've homed in on the ring, and then all of a sudden the leads.
Are they still married?
Yeah.
How and also, years? Actually, Bruce's face when he's discovered things about people that he's known for decades. It's actually definitely one of the highlights of the season.
That was funny because I didn't know the story that had happened, but I didn't know.
Like if someone was a Hull fan or something.
Fucking.
And you just bought them an Arsenal shirt.
Other way around.
Oh, the other way around. Yeah, an Arsenal fan and bought them a Hull shirt.
That's Chris's fault. He's living a lie. That's what they are.
And also your Rupert's friend who did the YouTube line. he said something about being familiar with Arsenal when they used to win things because he's got this thing called YouTube.
That was it. No, that
he's
was
on the spectrum.
That might be my funniest one because Harry's getting a bit agitated because they were younger than him. You know, Harry's got an issue with his age. But what was funny? Yeah, that was
not
funny.
Harry,
but Harry will say to him, "How do you know that, Sam? How do you know that, Sam? You weren't even born." He said, "Yeah, because us Gen Zers have got something called YouTube, so we look at." And I thought, "Yeah, Harry, that's the future. An obnoxious Gen Zer's going to take you down."
That was the mic drop moment of the season.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Actually, I don't think Harry's been on since then.
So Harry lost interest, obviously, because he can't be bothered.
He said he was coming again tonight.
Oh yeah, that's why I said I might be fashionably late. Like Harry, because that included I might not turn up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because with him you never know.
He didn't play football on Monday. He didn't turn up. He said
he remembered.
I lost my phone bust and something came up.
No, I don't want to give away any trade secrets, but using the phone and getting a message, I actually turned up at the regular recording time this week and you guys just weren't there.
He phoned me last night. He phoned me last night. Bruce, you know, Gemma's, I mean, you know, in the lounge, Gemma. I said, "Harry?" Because he'd never phoned me before. He said, "Yeah." He goes, "Where are you? I turned up." And, you know, I said, "It's tomorrow, Harry. Where, you know, what's going on?" It was quite a good, subtle, appropriate end to the season.
Was he a day early or 6 days late?
He was pretending to be a day early, but you know, he was basically bringing in he was darting in an apology for something that hadn't happened.
13 days late.
Yeah, it was good. Now, Jules, I won't embarrass you because I don't think you've listened to a single episode.
I've listened to a few.
Oh, have you? On your favourite moment?
Is gloating over the victory over tapping up.
Yes.
Yeah. Good to mention that again.
Well, actually, brilliant, Jules, because you're right. That
what was that?
Could be beating tapping the Admiral.
Oh yeah.
As we are calling them, Jules, tipping the velvet, and I'm the only person.
Return game coming up. Yes. And time recording, Jules, it hasn't happened, so it's on the horizon.
It's on the 3rd of June at Cantelo's.
Yeah. Fair pitch. We're playing away.
Playing away. So we, I mean, anyone wants to come along?
Where do you park? Is it opposite the Esso?
Yeah, it's by Cantelo. Yes,
it's by the skate park.
As far as I'm aware, we did get them
12-8.
And they're the
beat. Are we short of players? Should I get Warriors coming along?
Are you going to play this time?
It's coming up.
I play on Tuesday.
Yeah, but you're not going to play.
The week after,
Klaus, we haven't finished it yet. That's a very good point, Jules.
We're talking later.
Yeah.
I'm putting it together and hopefully it will be up on YouTube soon.
Definitely, and that you're right. Tipping the Admiral episode was a favourite of mine. Except I wasn't there, which is my biggest regret. Actually, that was the low point of the season, not being there for the game.
Mm.
But yeah, you're right, that's coming up. Good. Gentlemen.
Merci beaucoup.
I mean, we'll go around. Klaus.
Yeah.
Merci beaucoup. That's your final. What's that in Austrian?
Auf Wiedersehen. Auf Wiedersehen. Oh, nice.
Well, thank you very much.
You're
thank you very much. And also, that's
vielen
not much.
Vielen Dank. Yeah.
Vielen Dank. It's always vielen rude Austrian, isn't it? Vielen Dank.
No, it's not rude.
Feels like something
that's you're feeling Dank.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a Vielen Dank.
It is telling me that translation.
Chris, your sign off?
Auf Wiedersehen, Pet.
Wait, with Steve's at the end. Jules, final comment. Serenana.
Love you long time.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you all very much for coming. And to Aneshu, had to go early. Steve, I think you're the only one to sign it off.
It's been a long season.
No.
It's been a pleasure.
Exactly.
There you go.
Bravo.